Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are two of the eight Beatitudes, and I want to reflect on those two with you today as part of my preaching series on call. Starting last week, I committed to preaching every week in Epiphany on call, on Christian call. And I'm proceeding with four beliefs. One is that every single one of us has gifts from God. Secondly, that we are called to use those gifts in different ways in different seasons of our lives. An 80-year-old is called as much as a 20-year-old. It's just to a different thing. It's to a different form in that season of life. Number three, I believe that we don't come fully alive, don't become who we were created to be until we are using our gifts for God's glory. And then fourth, that it's not on us alone to figure out what our gifts are and how to use them, that we are to do that in Christian community and very specifically in discipleship groups here. That's part of what discipleship groups are structured for. I also believe that call is one of six necessary dimensions of being a church in depth. The other I've named fluency, community, abiding, befriending, and cross. And I won't say more about them this morning, but these are part of a regular themes that we've been exploring here at St. Paul's. And then finally, I'm proceeding in the trust that somewhere in Scripture each Sunday is going to be something that's going to support call. And today we have a feast, I would suggest. Because if we're following our call, it has to have some resonance in the language, the words, the images, the characters, the stories of Scripture. And I think that the eight Beatitudes are a perfect measuring stick of whether or not what we're doing is to the glory of God. Can we find what we're doing affirmed in these great Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are very often teachings of reversal, the kind of teaching where Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last. It's that kind of counterintuitive notion of what the kingdom of God is like. But Jesus is very clear in this teaching. And what I want to consider with you this morning is just two of those Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, and blessed are those who are, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And I want to explore both of those with you because they remind me of somebody that we have been praying with for months, who just died a week ago Friday. For months, we have been praying for Charlie Litke. And Charlie was a friend of Richard Olive's, who's sitting right back there. And through Richard, I got to know a little bit about Charlie. But then I found out more about Charlie when I read his long obituary in the New York Times. He also had one in the Washington Post and one that was written for the AP and went throughout the country. Charlie was a Roman Catholic priest, and he was a chaplain in the Vietnam War. And in his very first firefight, a very intense one in the evening, he single-handedly, in the midst of very intense fire, rescued 23 soldiers. Later, for that act of heroism, he received the Medal of Honor. Now, after the Vietnam War in the 1970s, Charlie fell in love with a woman who was a nun. And within a few years, they both had to let go of those vows, and they were married. Now, in the 1980s, when Richard got to know Charlie, they were members of a Roman Catholic parish in San Francisco that was a sanctuary parish. It was a place that was protecting refugees from the violence in Central America. And Charlie became so caught up in what that was and so offended by American policy in Central America that he went to Washington, D.C. with his Medal of Honor. And he, of the over 3,500 people through the course of the United States, the history of the United States, who've won the Medal of Honor, he is the only one to give the Medal of Honor back. He left it there at the Vietnam Memorial. That caused me a little bit of anxiety, well, a lot, and I'll explain that in a minute, but I will report that that Medal of Honor is now in the Smithsonian. So he left that there, but that as a sign of protest against the violence in Central America and America's participation in it. But that's not all. Charlie then went on with three other veterans to have a water-only hunger strike on the steps of the Capitol for 45 days. And Richard was part of that discernment with Charlie and reports that he's convinced that Charlie would have taken that protest even to death. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I hold up Charlie as somebody who embodied both of those beatitudes. We're not all called to embody those beatitudes in just the same way. I know somebody, I have a close friend who is like Charlie in his intensity and single-mindedness. He does many good things, but then he can also be a giant pain. J.D. went on a family vacation with us, with three families, and he was training at the time for a triathlon. And it was terrible to be around him. Not only was he working out all the time, he was on the phone with his trainer, and then he wouldn't eat anything with the rest of us. But you have to kind of maybe admire that kind of single-focusedness, that purity of heart, that purity of intention. And Charlie certainly embodied that. I am so glad that there are Charlies and JDs in the world, and I am so glad that we are not all Charlies and JDs. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Charlie got a lot of blowback for what he did. And there was part of me, it's so simple or whatever, but I was particularly shocked when I found out that he gave up $1,000 a month when he gave that Medal of Honor back. So that's just one small price that he paid. He paid a far greater price for his gesture. So Charlie is pure and was pure and persecuted in a way that maybe many of us won't be. However, I do believe that we are all called to a certain level of purity and maybe even a certain level of being persecuted. Let me give you just two more homely examples. After my sermon last week, where I started to say that I was going to be talking about call, I had a meeting with Pat Curtis. And she had just come from, I noticed that she walked up to the church. And I said, Pat, did you walk from your house, which is in San Rafael, a couple miles away? And she said, yes. And I was thinking about your sermon, and I was thinking about how clearer I get when I go on long walks. She said, I find that we have all this chatter in our brains, and then when I go on a long walk, the thing that's underneath starts to surface and become clear. Become more pure, what it is I ought to do. And I completely resonated with that because I do the same thing. If I'm feeling agitated, confused, whatever, if I take a long walk, I'll settle down and begin to have a kind of purity of sight of what the right thing to do is, what the next thing to do is, and begin to have the fortitude to accomplish it. And as for being persecuted, I will share with you that I am prepared for us to begin to be persecuted, a little bit at least, here in Marin County, because we are pursuing something we are calling St. Monica's Commons, which is housing for working families. And this comes out of our ministry with Young Moms Marin, who are young moms who are living here. They're working very often, low-paying jobs, living here, and having a very hard time making ends meet and doing all the right things to help their children thrive. And so as part of a Christian ministry, we're teaming up with St. John's Ross and with Mutual Housing of California to bring support of maybe as many as 40 to 60 housing units, housing for these moms who are already living among us here in Marin County. Well, do you all know about how people respond in Marin County when you bring up housing? Did you read about the reaction of the Dominican neighborhood just a couple of weeks ago when the nuns were going to invite two young moms and their children into their convent, which is in the middle of the Dominican campus, and they were hit hard by objections in the neighborhood? So if that is what we face, we're going to face some anger if we pursue that. Now, that's not persecution all the way to the cross necessarily, but we have to be prepared to fight for the right thing for the right reasons. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus concludes that teaching with these words: Blessed are you when the world reviles you and persecutes you and utters all manner of evil against you falsely. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they did to the prophets who came before you. Amen.